are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope, and I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must be done, and it will get done because you're going to do it. Yes, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Every Monday at 6 p.m. from 6 to 8, all times are going to give our Eastern times. From 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahal Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Council. The Sankofa Council from 7
this
to 9.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com, brothers and sisters. Products that are produced by us. Go online to WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, if you spend, I'm not sure what the amount is, but they have three free delivery. They'll deliver those products right to your door. Also, too, they are taking donations to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. I'm just going to say that and move on because you know how I get when I talk about that, how ridiculous that is here in this Atlanta area, a metropolitan area of 6 million people, you know, and I would venture to say I'm almost a third of 6 million, which is 2 million, is us. It's ridiculous. Okay. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. That's my good brother Bamani Tayemba. Africa for the Africans. Trip upcoming November 18th through the 29th.
going to Tanzania, and that is for $300. All of the costs for each trip is $3,700 per person. December 24th, come on now, Brother Osh, you got to get together now. Come on. December 24th to January 5th, 2022, also $3,700. Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th, 2022, $37. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2022, once again, going to Ghana. Those trips all under $4,000. Put a $400 deposit down, pay on it as you go. And you too, dear brother, a trip of a lifetime. I just talked with one of the brothers who calls a lot out of Baltimore, Brother Irv. He's going to be going to Senegal and Gambia next year. Right on. It's beautiful. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani. 2072007. And the number to call if you want to talk to Brother Bomani Tayemba is 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. Brother Baba Rinoko Rashidi. Baba Rinoko has a this Friday, July 23rd. This is a webinar, African History and the Vision of Pan-Africanism. That's this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern to 9:30. And then on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 12:30 on Saturday. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, that's his $25 for both sessions on Eventbrite. $25 up for both sessions. For the July webinar, Dr. Rashidi covers the following. He's going to cover the following. On Friday, Dr. Rashidi covers invasions of Africa and the capture of African people. On Saturdays, he's going to talk about the captivity, the great Pan-Africanists, and the future of global African community. And that is this Saturday webinar, this Saturday, this Friday and Saturday. Also, too, Baba Rinoko is going to Kemet. The 31st, July 31st through August 13th, he's going to Kemet. I'm going to hope to arrange with him to have a call in that he calls in from Kemet and discuss how the tour is going and all the kinds of good stuff like that. Definitely want to do that. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha Incorporated.org. These brothers and sisters are doing the work. Their mission, it is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. The programs that they have, of course, are Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. HabeshaIncorporated.org and the Kashi Project that is going on as we speak in Ghana. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Ledge Group. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Group of Economics. That's Ledge, theledgegroup.com. Go to theledgegroup.com. They deal in the four areas of human development: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six different countries and over 172 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of theledgegroup.com. If you become a member of Ledge, you can buy land for $250 an acre in Tanzania. I know some people pronounce it Tanzania, but I was told that the native people or the indigenous people of the area pronounce it Tanzania. So I'm going to pronounce it Tanzania. You know, I don't pronounce stuff where Caucasian ones, but I pronounce the way we want it to pronounce. You know what I'm saying? That's right. And that's what we should do. Have that respect. Bibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. BibiAtumi.com. It is the website that you need to go to for all the things. I mean, everything is right there for all things. This Saturday, the 25th, they have a special, this Sunday, they have a special Sunday series, Why Every African Person Should Care About What Happens in Haiti. We all should care about what happens in Haiti. And that's going to be at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time here in the States. And we can figure that out. But it's coming out of Ghana. Special Sunday series, why every African person should care what happens in Haiti. Abibi Atumi. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in the Atlanta area. So if you are in the Atlanta area and you're on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, you know, going east or whatever, or going west, depending upon the direction you're going, when you get to Lee Street, that's right there is the West End Mall, Afrocentrics clothing store, all kinds of good stuff happening there. Wadada's and a lot of vegan restaurants. And Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar with healthy smoothies, drinks, and so forth. Wadada's, give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. And up the street from Wadada's, of course, is the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, they're open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7 still. I'm not sure if that is permanently open, but there it is. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall here in the Atlanta area off of Highway 166, Georgia Highway 166. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. She has her store is right down on the main walkway now in the Greenbrier Mall. A much bigger store, and I can't wait to do a presentation there. I look forward to it. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, my good friend Gazinde Ajamu, who is the proprietor of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. He has a coffee bar there that serves delicious coffees and teas and smoothies and all kinds of. Had a fruit drink there, man. It was outstanding. Brother Gazinde Ajamu, the Black Dot. Give Brother Gazinde a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. And his array of books is not as extensive as Mama Nia's, but I'm quite sure if there's a book that you want, he'll get it for you. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's right, Blog Talk Radio, Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. And the number to call, if you want to call just to listen, you can do that. Or you can ask a question, comment, or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. BlogTalkRadio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. That's right. Check out Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Natural. Excuse me. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabby in Haiti, doing a great job of educating the young children in the area, in the northeastern portion, in the hills. Sanjay-Haiti, they deal with education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti. Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, we appreciate them, we love them, respect them dearly for always educating our fine young warriors. And so brothers and sisters, send your money to, I'm just going to go right to the PayPal accounts because people ain't writing out checks. But if you're old school like me, then I'll do this. Akabin House. Make your check of money order out to Akabin House. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. There's Akabin Institute. Make check out to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786,
Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use PayPal or Cash App. If it's Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A. M, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And make your donation and make it consistently. That would be great. They need it. And if you want to buy books of Baba Baruti, go to Akabin House. I think I mentioned that before. Akabin House to buy those books. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought for Warriors. July 18th. There are only two basic kinds of black men. The broken who fall and the true black man who may have stumbled in the past but will rise again. Nathan Hare. Only one of these qualifier has a warrior material. The other is in the realm of punks. Those who do not qualify, who are broken and have fallen and refuse to get up, are marked by laziness, arrogance, self-centeredness, super-individualism, Yoruguism. Yoruguism is the mental-cital desire to ape Europeans. Materialism, sexual insanity, and weak-mindedness. They refuse to stand on righteousness and accountability. Instead, they engage in meaningless, distractive debate and exhibit a resolute unwillingness to support and defend our women, children, and community that we live in. Those who qualify are known for their diligence, humility, selfless service to others, African-centeredness, spiritual groundedness, sexual sanity and control, knowledgeable accountability, silence and observance in the face of any threat, and deliberate willingness to support and defend our women and children. Ashe. There is no gray area in which a man can escape and hide. Either you are a man or simply a grown male. The more practiced and acceptable the excuses manufactured by grown males become, the more severe and enduring our destruction becomes at the hands of others who are acting like men. Men are not grown males. The rise of lesser definitions will never change that fact. Childhood is for boys. Either you are a man or you are not. And given the Ma'afa, the only valid definition of manhood for us is warriorhood. The same telling dictum applies to our sisters. Affirm, I have stumbled, but I'm steadily rising. Affirm, I have stumbled, but I am steadily rising. July 19th. We define nation building as a conscious focus application of our people's collective resources, energies, and knowledge to the task of liberating and developing the psychic and physical space that we identify as ours. Nation building encompasses both the reconstruction of African culture and the development of a progressive and sovereign state structure consistent with that culture. I'm going to read that again. Nation building encompasses both the reconstruction of African culture and the development of a progressive and sovereign state structure consistent with that culture. Council of Independent Black Institutions. There is no aspect of a warrior's life that is not touched, changed, and improved in the nation building process, whether immediately, later, or as an ongoing part of his Sankofa process. Every thought, word, and deed is impacted and guided by the single-minded effort to transform one's identity and vision by bringing into full alignment with the will and way of our African warrior ancestors. Changing how we think, what we say, and how we live to the degree that we become better frontliners than before is what demonstrates the quality of our personal power as members of a people of power. To be contained by a madness which must lessen us in order for it to be collectively structurally survive is unacceptable. This must change. Even so, those brave souls among us who choose not to remain less must remain cognizant of the threat we pose. For any do or die movement out of captivity and enslavement and into sovereignty is at best extremely difficult and dangerous. However, without even saying so, we know that such a radical transformation is absolutely necessary and unconditionally so. We are to move forward and toward creating a reality where we are free to be our natural selves. Ashe. Affirm, I am I am a conscious, dynamic, dedicated nation builder. Affirm, I am a conscious, dynamic, dedicated nation builder. Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do. If you think that our women ain't nothing but, you know, then how will you treat them? How will your actions be? But if you think that our women are to be supported and cared for and protected and loved, you will treat them as such. It begins with what you think, your philosophy. And what determines your philosophy is all the things that bombard you on a constant daily basis of images and notions of your inability, your inferiority. So if you're not strong within yourself, then your actions will show. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. And you got to watch who's doing the telling. That's why, to me, this program, I mean, it's not me. It is not Oshi. This program and many others like it are, I mean, seriously necessary to put us into the right mind. We need to do the telling, and we need to do that telling from an African-centered perspective, independent of anybody else's influence. It is our own. What you have been told. So if you think of yourself because you have been told, believe me, people act that out. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of great wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Lester Velt Middleton. As I always say that, when I come to find out, you know, he died many years ago. And you can check out Lester Velt Middleton on YouTube, some of the great interviews he did with our warrior scholars, our warrior scholar ancestors of John G. Jackson, Dr. Clark, Doc Ben, Dr. Von Sertum, and many others, Dr. Chancellor Williams. But he helped build the house. He built the house that his wife lives in South Carolina. He built that house. Man, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hope you guys had a great weekend. And I'm going to kick this Monday off. I wanted to do something around. I heard a few things, seen some things in the news. And of course, I appreciate last week, particularly when Attorney Molly Lee Davis came and talked about his book, We Need You. And boy, do we need our young people. There should never be with African people, because that's not how it is, a intergenerational gap. No, we are one. We are one, the ancestors, the elders, the parents, the children, all of us, we are one. And then, of course, on Friday, talking about Cuba, I talked with Brother Kwaku Lumumba. He
He unfortunately, well, no, that's not unfortunate. He has to work, and so his time frame to come into this, because I listened to this brother a number of times, and so I'm going to try to find a way I can get him. Maybe we can tape it, and we can play it back here on the program, because his insights are very sound on what's happening in Cuba as well as in Haiti. So I'm going to try to do that. But I decided to talk about Dr. Amos Wilson. Dr. Amos Wilson today. You know, I felt it was important that we need to listen to our great warrior ancestors from time to time. Dr. Amos Wilson was born February 23rd, 1941. And they say either 41 or 40, whatever, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He died January 14th, 1995. I didn't know it was that long ago. At the age of 53, very young, in Brooklyn, New York. He went to Morehouse, then the New School of Social Research, and then Fordham University. Fields of psychology, sociology, African studies. And he attained his PhD from Fordham. Worked as a psychologist, social worker, and supervising probation officer, and as a training administrator in New York City, Department of Juvenile Justice. As an academic, he taught at City University in New York from 81 to 86 and at the College of New Rochelle from 87 to his passing in 95. According to the AALBC.com, Dr. Wilson believed that the vast power differentials between Africans and non-Africans was the major social problem of the 21st century. He believed those power differentials are not simply racist attitudes, was chiefly responsible for the existence of racism and the continuing domination of people of African descent across the globe. Caucasian people exercise racism because they have the power to do so.
Yeah.
And they can decide what is going to be taught and what is not going to be taught. They're going to label something critical race theory and say that it is terrible, it is bad. We need to teach children. Shouldn't teach children that white people are terrible and do bad things, even though it is true. As a scholar of African studies, Amos Wilson felt the social, political, and economic problems that American Africans faced and African people worldwide all over were unlike those of other groups. And thus, he argued that the concept of equal education ought to be abandoned in favor of a philosophy and approach appropriate to their own needs. Wilson argued that the function of education and intelligence was to solve the problems, particularly to people and nations, and not to secure that the people and nations' biological survival. Any philosophy of education or approach which failed to do so was inadequate. Wilson further argued that the mythological notion of progress to which many American Africans subscribe was a false one, that integration could only occur and persist as a social economic reality as long as the U.S. and global economies continue to expand. If such an economic situation were ever to reverse or change for the worse, then the consequences which would follow could end up resulting in increased racial conflict. Thus, he urged Africans to consider disintegration as a realistic possibility to prepare for all hypothetical scenarios, with the understanding that integration was not guaranteed to last forever. Wilson also believed that racism was a structural an institutionally driven phenomenon derived from the inequalities of power relationships between groups and could persist, even if and when more overt expressions of it were no longer present. That's right. Racism then could only be neutralized by transforming society structurally and a system of power relationships. And that can't happen here. The idea that we must necessarily arrive at a point greater than that reached by our ancestors could possibly be an illusion. The idea that somehow, according to some great universal principle, we're going to be in a better condition than our ancestors is an illusion, which often results from not studying history and recognizing that progressions and regressions occur. The integration and disintegrations occur in history. That's Dr. Wilson from his book, The Falsifications of African Consciousness. Yeah, Dr. Amos Wilson. That's a real Jegna. A real Jegna. I'm going to read from the Pan-African Alliance. Three teachings and seven books of Dr. Amos Wilson to decolonize the African mind. As you remember, and I say it all the time in this program, the main function of this program is to help decolonize the African mind, to put something on our minds. We are at war for the minds of our people. It is the African mind, how we think, but we continue to allow these, I was going to say something, but we continue to allow the oppressor to influence our thinking and behavior, our thought process. Dr. Amos Wilson said, signs showing you may suffer from mental captivity. Signs showing that you may suffer from mental captivity. One, what language do you speak? Language is critical to the expression of culture. That's why I advocate, brothers and sisters, going to Bibi Atumi. And also, too, Brother Damani Aquil here in Atlanta, they're offering Swahili courses. But go to Bibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com, BibiAtumi.com. They offer not just Kiswahili, but they offer other languages as well. And we need to speak a language that we can exclude those who are outside of us purposely to express things that we need to keep in-house. Language is critical to the expression of culture. It is a means by which the values, beliefs, and the customs of a people are communicated. When African people were forced to adopt European language, we were forced to abandon our own worldview and accept a foreign one. What name do you answer to? We were stripped of our names from our homeland. This loss destroyed the link that tied our people of African descent to their heritage and their history. Some Africans have shared European names. I know I have, and some people who call here have. You know, I felt not just to give myself an African name, I felt I want to do it legally. I went through the process to do it legally. And as I said, one brother said, yeah, you changed your name. Yeah, right. Well, what does your paycheck say? Well, my paycheck says Oshieyemi Adelabu. Yeah. Some Africans have shared European names, but most still answer to names that designate us as property. What kind of food do you eat? Enslaved Africans live their day-to-day lives in desperation and hunger. Comfort was sought in what became known as soul food. While the Caucasian ate the best of parts of meat and so forth, Africans were relegated to eating all the other parts, feet, skin, ears, tails, snoot, intestines. And today, American African people still partake of this type of comfort food, even though it is proven to be unhealthy. In the movie Soul Food, you know, it comes on and shows how beautiful the table looks, you know, and all the delicious food that's there. And of course, Big Mama, who prepared it in the movie, she dies of diabetes because of what? Soul food. She died of diabetes. Bismarcky just died of complications because of diabetes. You don't have to be diabetic. You do not have to be diabetic. If you are borderline diabetic, all you need to do is change your diet. If you have diabetes, instead of taking insulin and continue to do what you've been doing, to hell with the insulin, just stop doing what you've been doing. Stop eating what you've been eating. Number four, what God do you pray to? Enslaved African people were forced to abandon their spiritual belief system and to adopt the Euro version of Christianity. Africans have their own religion and concerns of God, which many in the African diaspora rejected as a result of Africans have their own religions and concerns and concepts of God, which many in the African diaspora rejected as a result of anti-African conditioning by European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy. One of the most egregious acts was the formation of white men and a white man as the Son of God. This belief implanted into the minds of our people. It implies that white man is perfect, good, supreme, and the only source of blessing. Many people believe that. Many people go to church and say, it is, you know, that's why I emphatically say, no, our salvation does not lie in the belief of any religion. Our salvation relies in the unity of African people. Whatever religion you have, as Malcolm said it best, when I come to the table to deal with the issues affecting our people, I'm keeping my religion at home. I'm putting my religion in the back pocket. I may be, my religion may be El Islam, but I'm not going to proselytize it at the table. No, I want to talk about how we as African people, regardless of what religions we have, can get ourselves up out of this madness. Because if I talk about Islam, you want to talk about Christianity. You want to talk about Black Hebrew Israelites. You want to talk about Seventh-day Adventists or whatever the hell you want to talk about. We need to talk about how we as African people can come together, close ranks, pull our resources, and be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. That's the discussion we need to have. In fact, every Monday and Wednesday and Friday, that's what we talk about on this program, because it really is the only discussion we need to have. Everything else, I believe, is moot if you're not talking about how can we do this. And I don't want to engage in debate whether it's or not we should be sovereign or independent or liberated. No. I want to talk about how can it be done? How can we do this? How can we begin to happen? How can we begin to make it happen right now? Right now. What kind of clothes do you wear? Fashion has always played an important role in African culture. The styles and the patterns of clothing often held cultural significance. Under captivity, Africans were not allowed to wear their traditional garments. Even today, African people have retained a fondness for elaborate fashions. But for many of us, traditional African clothing is strange and undesirable. In addition, we are loyal to clothing brands originating outside of our community. We'd rather wear somebody else's name on our ass than to wear something that is produced and tailored by us. That's the sickness that we have. Three teachings and seven books from Dr. Amos Wilson to decolonize our African minds. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this after the break so I can give it the time and explain a few things and we can get into the dialogue. I hope that we can get into dialogue. 646-646, good. Well, you hung up. I thought Jay was ready to say something, as he always is, you know. But I that's what I want to do instead of, you know, starting it and then breaking. I'd rather go ahead and make this break and then come back with the, and it's from the Pan-African Alliance. Pan-African Alliance has always got good stuff. Like I said, I was going to talk about, man, just some things that I've been seeing and the frustration, and that all of us should be frustrated to some degree with the behavior of our people, the inability for our people to understand what we're up against and begin to come together and move against it. Because we constantly believe that somehow through our activism, through the legislative process, through our whatever means we feel, marching, praying, that somehow, some way, this thing will all transform and we will be treated equitably and fairly. And we too can sing America. To me, it'll never happen. It hasn't happened. It ain't happening, and it ain't gonna happen. But yet, because of the educational process that we've been under, the teachings that we've been under, makes us believe that somehow we will wear them down with our soul force, our love, and we will make them see the error of their ways and their behavior. And then begin to treat us fairly and equitably. The piece I read to you early on Dr. Wilson, he says, you know, only when you have integration, and I love this quote here, and I'm going to read this constantly because this is just dynamic. I'm going to just be real with you. Of course, this is Ezra Erehone of the Sovereign Psyche. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved or captive people who valued integration with their former captors to the point they were completely abandoned. They completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. We're Americans. We're just as much Americans as anybody else. And we have just as much right. We helped build this. We have just as much right to be here as anybody else. One thing that is blatantly clear when you look at the global dynamics of what Europeans have done And all a lot of groups fall or want to fall in that group with the Europeans. They want to claim their Europeanness or their whiteness. And because of what they have done around the globe, people who are melanated are disrespected or at the low rung of the economic ladder, who are ostracized, who are marginalized in communities everywhere on this globe, everywhere on this planet. You could talk about Southeast Asian countries, the melanated people. You could talk about Central and South America. Hell, you could talk about the Caribbean. Everywhere. This has been a conditioning of a people globally for hundreds of years. That's why, to me, these dynamics are not going to change overnight. But because of the way the world is and things are moving so fast, it's possible. It's possible. When Europeans did what they did, there was no mass media. Things moved at a slower pace, sometimes to the point of months and years. But today, you can see things happening just as they're happening right now. And as the saying goes, in real time, globally. And you can see what's happening on the continent with all this foolishness, all this ignorance, all this superstition, all this tribalism, all of this madness. We need some leadership, some statesmen and stateswomen, whatever the case may be, but we need to come together. The Pan-African Federalist Movement, I don't give a damn it's that or anything else. Whatever it is, we need to come together. If you got a problem with that, then so be it. Then form your own just to come to. We need to make this happen. And it needs to happen now. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we'll further talk about Dr. Amos Wilson so we can understand, has he clearly understood the effects on our people, the effects on our people mentally to help deal with the African mind. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Is the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. The triumphs of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scroll, straight to the verse. God to God, from God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? With a cause I never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comp
comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness, born forth the one. Open nine stroke shun. Patents and priests standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of God. Brought from the Genesis. Will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell. Bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave. Always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Defenders of kings and queens act like justice. Never potential, caught up with the measure. Jealousy of what are we? Becomes tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool. But no need to pull the tokens as a fool. I get my words like that in my school. To produce the words that they fool about. It's another way of taking out these sissies. Who may try to extinct my principality. But of course I'm not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon, for a few seconds, pull the reins and keep the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives from the lake. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vanglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And even my demand makes stones seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear a person, just hasten your step to the mic and stage area. As I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places an antenna. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off.
Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pinch, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much. It's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me. Calm. Close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because deep hate, the places you play and where you stay, looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turn stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like cowboy, man. Yo, what's up, buddy?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creel and Raheem, man?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Let's check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got robbed, man.
Nah, what?
Yeah, she got hurt.
What is happening?
Fire free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster the Flash and the Fury.
That's the bottom. What is that, a gang?
Nah.
Shut up. I don't hear you now.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Man, huh? X-Clan, word to the brother. Heed the word to the brother. And of course, one of the greatest raps of all time, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, The Message. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media this evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jahal Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mia Cambon and Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mia Cambon and Nataki Cambon. And then at from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening. On Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Council. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Dr. Wilson will never be discussed on CNN. He will never be taught in public schools. In fact, the world would like you to forget about his work. But never. We always must embrace and remember Dr. Amos Wilson. We remember how he revolutionized black psychology. We remember how no one spoke with more incisiveness and intelligence than he did. A clarity born out of his Morehouse education and experience in the streets as a social worker. Baba Wilson was and remains an intellectual compass of the modern day African. This is why his work should be studied, discussed, and taught in every American African home, every African home globally. Dr. Wilson died physically of an aneurysm in his home on January 14, 1995. He left behind no wife, no children. Instead, his legacy lives on in the hundreds of thousands of Pan-Africanists who answer his call to wake up the masses. And we have been holding the line ever since, and we will continue to do so. We will continue to do so until we have independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And no matter how many times his lectures are deleted from YouTube, and no matter how many times his books are taken out of print, we will continue to use his teachings to liberate the masses. Here are some excerpts from Dr. Wilson's books that will help and will inspire you to go deeper. The process of decolonizing the African mind. Dr. Wilson was known for asking questions to stimulate critical thinking and to draw our ideas and underlying presuppositions, just like I read you those five things earlier before the break. I had those when I was on Blog Talk. I presented that when I was on Blog Talk Radio. Can you name one African god? How can you then define yourself, the very true essence of yourself, and the very essence of your soul, and organize the very nature of your life here on earth based on a god handed to us by our captors, by our enslavers, and say that you have no slave consciousness? This was the question that Dr. Wilson asked our people during one of his lectures years ago. And even though we would like to believe that we have made progress since then, our people still reject African spirituality in favor of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privileges, and the white supremacist Christianity that they have imposed upon us. We claim that we've escaped slavery and that slavery was something back there, back then, which had nothing to do with us today. And then I ask you, what kind of God do you worship? Slave consciousness is not only alive and well today, it is even more deeply ingrained in the African subconscious than ever before. Why? Because we have become increasingly more detached from reality. Social media, subliminal seduction, the technology all have combined to distort, disrupt, and distract us from critical African thought. It prevents us from thinking clearly. That's why that when I read about Marimba Ani, to think victoriously, we need to separate our thoughts from their thoughts so that we can be Bifohodie. Our victorious destiny. Visualize and think and imagine our victorious destiny. his book, Self-Hate, Self-Defeat, Towards a Reclamation of the African Mind, Historical and Social Constructs, The Inducement of Self-Hate. In his book, African-Centered Consciousness Versus the New World Order, he writes that the very essence of pathology, whether social, ideological, economic, social, or physiological, is a lack of knowledge of reality. How can one deal with reality if one does not know what it is? How can you deal with reality if you're blind to it or if it is distorted? This is a European reality. This is theirs, not ours. This benefits them, not us. Oh, but Brother Oshi, there are some of us that are doing very well. Oh, of course. Because after the captivity, after all of those things, and still, brothers, still, they allowed a couple, a few, a small few, because they want you to see them and say to yourself, as they say to you, see, you could be just like me. You could do this too. No, you can't. It's not designed even for the Caucasians, let alone. And so this idea that they have is an illusion. As he suggests that our detachment from the truth can only be corrected when we as African people gain knowledge of self. He goes on to write that a people who suffer from a lack of knowledge of themselves and their history, a lack of knowledge of their creation, has a people who suffer from a loss of identity. Answering the question of who are we as a people lies at the heart of almost everything Dr. Wilson taught. He used trenchment questions to expose just how much European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege and neocolonialism have removed us from our truth. What kind of food do you eat? A food that we learn to eat in the quarters, our captive quarters, and yet we dare say that we have escaped captivity. What kind of clothes are you wearing? Were those the clothes of African people? What kind of names do we respond to? What kind of names do we identify with? Why is it that African names sound strange to us now as a people? And yet we dare say that we have a consciousness that is defined from our great, that is different, a consciousness that is different from our great captive grandparents and other ancestors. As we work toward mental liberation, the lesson taught here is that decolonizing our minds is about changing the way we eat, say, and wear, as much as it is about changing our thoughts and beliefs. Challenging the lies of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy. One of the greatest lies told by Europeans is that they are a people who have no past. One of the greatest lies told by them that we, African people, are a people who have no past worth mentioning. Or even worse, that African history started in 1619. That's why I push many of the documentaries or things that I do on this program. That's why I will continue to push Great Pyramid K 2019. Because the European wanted us to believe that we have no history worth repeating. And the great comedic history, the great dynastic period in history was theirs, not ours. And that documentary clearly not only does it show you how the pyramids were built, because that's always been a mystery. How could this thing rise 450 feet in the air on an angle perfectly? How could all these stones be placed one on top of the other when you can't even put a piece of paper through it? How could this happen? It shows you how it happened. And it shows you who made it happen.
other documentaries that tell us of our struggle. We need to know who we are, accept who we are, where we have fallen, so we can strengthen ourselves to never fall again. When we separate ourselves from the full scope of our history, we are left with a narrative that begins with our interactions with Caucasians. We disconnect ourselves from more than 300,000 years of real African history. This was deliberate effort on the part of Europeans to divide the African diaspora with an edited history that was written by Caucasian so-called scholars. Once again, Dr. Amos Wilson brings us to our senses. We recognize, as Garvey recognized, that this lack of self-knowledge was deliberately induced into the mind and psyche of our people. That's why I'm saying we need to reject any and everything that these folks bring us. Reject it. We could not be African and slaves at the same time. We could not hold on to our African identity, our African selves, knowledge of our African culture, and be enslaved. The subordinates of another people, to be the subordinates of another people. It is only when we would not have, it is only when that knowledge is removed, erased, degraded, stolen, taken, and distorted that we lose our identity. It is then that an identity is placed upon us by another people, by external forces. To the opening point of this section, when we focus on our history from 1690 onward, we participate in the same tactic of miseducation that Europeans used to colonize our minds. We have been trained to believe that nothing happened to us before 1619, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose and never having created a civilization of any worth, of any kind. And nothing is furthest from the truth. If anything, African history in the context of Caucasian supremacy or white supremacy did not begin with our defeat, but with our victory over Caucasians in 1711. Yeah, 1711. In reclaiming our stolen legacy, 300,000 years of untold history, we learn how African rulers transformed Europe from a barbaric wasteland into a paradise. Once more, Spain fell to Caucasian supremacy in 1450. Moorish technology was weaponized against Africans by Columbus, Vasco da Gama, and others. The fall of the port of Ceuta in 1450 marked the beginning of the Maafa, the great struggle against European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege that lasted until the formation of the African Unity, the Organization of African Unity, on May 25th, 1963. May 25th is the day we should be commemorating and celebrating. May 25th, around the world, African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora, that day, I don't give a damn, that's the day. Hell with Christmas. The hell with Thanksgiving. The hell with Juneteenth. That's the day. In short, we did not begin our relationship with Caucasians as their slaves. We began as their conquerors. Black-on-black violence is another common Caucasian supremacist idea that must be challenged and corrected. All of us have wondered why our ancestors sold fellow Africans into slavery. That is not true. Some did, but it's not. I remember having a conversation many years ago, and I didn't have the knowledge that I have today. When the Caucasians, well, your people sold your other people. I said, no, they didn't. Yes, they did. They sold. Your people were there, and they went into, because we know whites couldn't go into the interior of Africa and get those people. Like, your people did that. We all have felt shame at seeing endless parades of African faces in the news for fighting, killing, raping, and robbing other African women and men. Even Tupac rapped that, "They say it's the white man I should fear, but it's my own kind doing all the killing here." Baba Amos Wilson devoted his entire volume to understanding our self-destructive behavior in his book, Black on Black Violence, The Psychodynamics of Black Annihilation in Service to White Domination. You know? In his book, he explains how identifying with oppressors leads to taking on the values and behaviors of the oppressor. In other words, the oppressed become oppressors themselves in an attempt to regain their own power or have a semblance of power or perception of power, an illusion of power. When we act white, we act toward our people in the same way that Caucasians act towards us. He also brings light to the idea that constant media coverage of and discussions surrounding black-on-black violence are often exaggerated. We have our fair share of criminals, but media coverage and persecution are disproportionately aimed at us. That the European must see virtually every African male as a criminal or has a potential criminal, regardless of facts to the contrary, bespeaks of the intense psychic need of European Americans to perceive themselves as such. Baba Wilson explains, alleged American criminality, while invoking Caucasian American fear and loathing, reassures them of their vaunted self-worth, their assumed innately superior moral standing, of their self-congratulatory, self-constrained, in contrast with presumed African Americans' unworthiness, innate inferiority and moral standing, and inherent criminality, lack of self-constraint and self-control. So as they continue to put that on us, and then you see every day in the damn news, on TV, national news, local news, newspapers, it reassures the Caucasian how good he is, how worthy he is. Assures them of their vaunted self-worth. They're assuming innate superiority, morals, their moral standing, of their self-congratulatory self-constraint in contrast. Caucasian Americans' self-appreciation is enhanced as it insatiably feeds on overblown reports about American criminality, while denying its own incomparable criminal record in its own racist, imperialist incubation and giving birth to a very same criminal forces which now threatens to destroy it. American African criminals function as a negative reference group vital to maintaining the European American self-image. The American African criminal is used to support the Caucasian community's self-serving, self-justifying judgment of itself. They have us as the face of criminality. Caucasian Americans' preoccupation with American African criminality betrays its own need for reassurance, betrays its own basic insecurity regarding its projected moral purity. Consequently, the higher the incident of reported crimes, the more exceptionally righteous Caucasian Americans feels about itself. The more righteous it feels about itself to be, the more intensely and guiltlessly it promulgates and justifies its domination and exploitation of African people at home and abroad. It justifies it. There's a number of criminals. I got to subdue them. I got to, what was that? Bring them to heel. The super predators, bring them to heel. The alleged innate criminality of American Africans, particularly of American African males, and their actual high level of self-destructive criminality remain inconvertibly psychopathological necessities if the European, Caucasian,
Eurocentric culture of inequalities is to be self-justifiably continued without end. They have to have us as the criminal, the face of criminality. They have to have us disproportionately. They have to have us to justify and to make them feel that they are good. Under these circumstances, the need of the collective Caucasian ego to project an image of endemic African criminality in order to maintain its power status quo is tantamount to the creation of black criminality, particularly of the self-destructive kind. They got to continue to push this and hopefully and believe not that us will turn against the perpetrators that have made us do this, but that we continue to turn on each other. Unifying the masses with a blueprint for black power. Dr. Wilson teaches us that unity of the American African masses and African people, period, can only come after we begin to think of ourselves as a nation. During one of his lectures, he cut to the heart of the matter like only a Jegna can. If you are not thinking in terms of nationhood, then you are not thinking seriously about being liberated. If you do not think about sovereignty, independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, you ain't thinking right. You're not thinking seriously about what we as African people need to think about for our survival. This is our salvation. It ain't Jesus Christ. When you look at the theology, particularly Christianity, wherever it is, the people who espouse it, who are in control of it, have wealth. The people who pray to it are poor. Are poor. Christianity all over Africa, all up in Ghana, poor. All in the Caribbean, poor. Trying to integrate and merge with our enemies is not going to solve our problem. And is not going to happen as a matter of fact. It is a fantasy that has kept us from taking care of business far too long. That the idea that one day we're going to be one with these people, that we're going to merge into invisibility with these Caucasians. And even if it were possible, we should question our motives for wanting to do so. Shay, why would you want to merge with the world's greatest criminals and thieves, with the people who has had the worst values in the world has ever known? We have been duped into believing, you know, obviously, when somebody tells a story about themselves, they want to tell the best about who they are, even if they have to make it up. They want to talk about how good they have been and how good what they have done was for the benefit of all, and basically saying, well, you know, those ends justify. Those means justify the ends. Those means of doing all that we've done justify where we are right now. Look at the world of what we were able to do and how. Why would you want to merge with the world's greatest criminals and thieves, with the people who has had the worst values the world has ever known? We know that a nation is built on the values that people share. We also know that integration, forcing one group to accept an alien culture, is one of the weapons of European Caucasian racism and privilege used to erase Africanness. This is the weapon of white supremacy used to erase Africanness. So if we are obedient to the teachings of our ancestor, then our focus should be abandoning white supremacy belief systems while reclaiming our indigenous values. That's what he speaks about in Blueprint for Black Power.
like the process of mental decolonization, reclaiming our values extends to our everyday habits. The food we eat, the names we use, our cultural expressions must all be realigned to foster our sense of nationhood. The 7 books by Dr. Amos Wilson for all of us to have. If you are a parent, you have a child, or you have a young adult particularly, you need to get these books. The Developing Psychology of the Black Child, Awakening the Natural Genius of Black Children. Understanding Black Male Adolescent Violence is Prevention and Remediation. Black on Black Violence, the Psychodynamics of Black Self-Annihilation in Service to White Domination. Black Self-Annihilation in Service of White Domination. The Falsification of African Consciousness. Blueprint for Black Power. African-centered consciousness versus the New World Order. If you are a true student of Dr. Amos Wilson, attach an image. Well, if you are a true student of Dr. Amos Wilson, they have some stuff that you should write below, but I'm going to just end it right there and open the lines. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Give us a call and let us discuss Dr. Amos Wilson. But more importantly, let us discuss how can we reclaim the African mind? How can we purge ourselves of the ignorance? Oh, you know, I know it's frustrating. You know, I know it's frustrating, very. You know, I want to say that I've made passion pleas over this airway, and I will continue to do so because it's so vitally important that we instill ourselves with knowledge and confidence in who we are and rid ourselves of the ignorance. Begin to see each other and begin to love one another, respect one another, trust one another, work with one another, regardless. Work hard until the work is done. If we fall, we immediately get back up. If we fall, accept the help from another righteous brother or sister to get back up. This is some serious work that we have to do. And nobody's going to do this for us but us. Nobody. Do you think that the world wants us to come together? Don't you understand that the world knows that the unification of African people to control Africa's land and resources is something that is a fear globally by Chinese, by Indians, by Arabs, by Caucasians? Don't you understand that? But if we are to survive and thrive, it's what must be done. It's imperative that it be done. And what's interesting, I know this sounds contradictory, it's easy, but it's hard. It's easy because it's your mind. All you got to do is open your heart, open your mind. Listen. Listen to our ancestors. Listen to the contemporaries. Listen to brothers and sisters that are awakening. And then internalize it. And more importantly, act on it. I'm not saying you should change your name. I know
those five things that Brother Amos Wilson talked about. I'm going to read them again. We got time. I'm going to read them again. Signs showing you may suffer from mental captivity. You may suffer from mental. If these signs are what I'm going to read here and you are dealing with them, you may suffer from mental captivity. And what this program consistently tries to do is help you break that chain. Help you release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. What language do you speak? Language is critical to the expression of culture. It's a means by which the values, beliefs, and the customs of a people are communicated. When African people were forced to adopt European language, we were forced to abandon our own worldview and accept a foreign one. What names do you answer to? We were stripped of our names from our homeland. This loss destroyed the link that tied our people of African descent to their heritage and their history. Some Africans have shared European names, but most still answer to names that designate us as property. Now, I've stated many times, yes, I did. I'm so happy I changed my name. Way back in the 80s, it became official in 1992 when I went through the process. I had a sister. She was a paralegal. Went and bought the forms from the legal forms office, a store, whatever. She helped me fill them out. I submitted them with the fees and so forth. Talked to the court commissioners and so forth. Went through all of that process. I think for me at that time, was a few hundred dollars. Today, it's a lot more, I understand. And a lot more if you get an attorney to do it. I understand. I'm not advocating that. No. I don't advocate name changes. There have been some people who have been given through birth and so forth, beautiful names, great names, names that have meaning, names that connect us. But yet, because of the influence of this society on them, their behavior does not reflect the names they've been given. They've done some heinous things with a beautiful name. So I don't advocate name change. I advocate mind changes, because once your mind is right, everything else begins to fall into place. Your behavior, your insights, the things you say, the things you do. I advocate a mind change. That's what needs to happen. What kind of food do you eat? Enslaved Africans live their day-to-day lives in desperation and hunger. Comfort was sought in what became known as soul food. While a Caucasian ate the best parts of meat and so forth, Africans were relegated to eating all the other parts, the feet, the tails, the snoot, the skin, intestines. And today, American African people still partake of this type of comfort food, soul food, even though it has been proven to be very unhealthy. Just like earlier I mentioned, the movie Soul Food, Big Mama. Big Mama died because of diabetes. You don't have to die of diabetes. Only thing you have to do. Now, there's types of diet. Let me be real, too. There's types of diabetes that has a disease, did not come from how you ate. Okay? But there's also diabetes that comes because of you, your lifestyle, how you lived and what you ate. And
that if you change them, maybe you won't have diabetes. Ask your doctor. What God do you pray to? Enslaved African people were forced to abandon their spiritual belief system and to adopt the Eurocentric version of Christianity. Africans have their own religion and concepts of God, which many in the African diaspora rejected as a result of anti-African conditioning by Europeans. One of the most egregious acts was the formation of white man as the Son of God. One of the most egregious acts was the formation of white man as the Son of God. This belief implies that the white man is perfect, good, superior, supreme, and the only source of blessings. Number five, what kind of clothes do you wear? Fashion has always been played an important part in the African culture. The styles and the patterns of clothing often held cultural significance. Under captivity, Africans were not allowed to wear their traditional garments. Even today, African people have retained a fondness for elaborate fashions.
They just going for the ride. Been stayed and explored planets and so forth.
Hello?
Hello. Yes.
Did you tell me up?
No, I'm going to do it in a second. You're up next. You're coming up. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'll wait.
Even today, African people have retained a fondness for elaborate fashions. But for many of us, traditional African clothing is strange and undesirable. In addition, we are loyal to clothing brands. Some person's name on our ass, originating outside of our community. Dr. Wilson was just outstanding. Dr. Amos Wilson was just outstanding. Good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Oshie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How are you been, man?
Man, I'm doing well. I cannot complain and won't complain.
I hear you.
Just have to work harder. That's all.
Listen, what happened with the your tour guide situation? Has that been
wrong? Oh, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's working out real well.
Good. You know,
I'm able to give people the background on Greenwood, but I stress to them, Oshie, don't look at Greenwood as an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This had happened.
Right.
And it's still happening all throughout the country.
Right.
One of the things, and I give them references, you know, about the various, the Red Summer of 1919. I go back to 1830, Andrew Johnson, Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm.
And how slaves were involved. So I give them a whole background.
Good.
So that they can enlighten them as to what's going on. So, but look, you're on Amos Wilson, and I had an opportunity to see Dr. Wilson twice, and he was just, man, he was just great.
Mm-hmm.
He loved his people so much, and he was so passionate. His lectures went on for
hours,
at least 2.5,
yeah,
3 hours.
Hours. Yeah,
you know, because he was pouring everything that he had into his lectures to try to get us to awaken.
Yeah.
But I would like for you and your listening audience to do this. He has a video that you can go out and look up. It's The Psychology of Cooperative Economics. And listen to the whole thing because it's great. But because it is so long, if we go to the 56th mark to the 106, the first, you know, 1 hour, 6 minute mark, it talks about education And he was talking about germ warfare back then, how the new war would not necessarily be fought with weapons, but it would be germ warfare that would leave people sweating and dying in their beds. It's really, really, really good. He talks about China. He talks about how the educational system is in terms of like becoming doctors, that's part of your defense system. You know, but I just stress, listen to that 56-minute mark to the hour and 6-minute mark, and it will absolutely blow your mind how this brother forecasted into the future things to come. So you know, I just want to share that with you. It's Amos Wilson, The Psychology of Cooperative Economics. And when you bring that up, it will actually have the blueprint for Black Power on it. So you'll know that you have the right one. So I just wanted to share that with you, Brother Oshie, as well as the listening audience. And whenever I finish this video on the shots that I took on the Tulsa Centennial, okay, I'm going to include that segment at the end of that video
right on
as well.
Good.
Yeah. Good. All right, then. Well, good. Right. Like always, you're right on point, bro.
Right on, Kev. Take care, brother. Preach
all right
to you.
Bye-bye.
646-646, good afternoon.
Odioch, what's happening, brother?
How you been, man?
Oh, I'm good, man. Hey, listen. Amos was a beautiful brother, man.
Yeah. Yes, he was, man.
But the tragedy is, and me and one of my best friends always talk about it, man, how our people didn't take care of him the way that we should have, man. Because let me tell you something, man. Amos didn't leave us the way he should have with all for which he gave us. And I knew Amos for years, man. I used to go into his shop. I used to, you know, do little errands for him and things of that nature, man. He was just the most hardworking, beautifulest brother who loved African people, man, like no other, man. Words can't really describe what kind of brother he was, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he was the type of person that you could just walk up to, talk to, dialogue with. You know what I mean? If he wasn't busy, he would, you know, just rap with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could go into his shop, you could rap with him. And, you know, I mean, what's so crazy is he's been gone a while now.
Yeah, 1995.
If you think about it, now just think about it. He probably did the video that the brother's talking about in maybe the late 80s or the early 90s. But isn't he basically describing the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. No, you're talking about germ warfare.
Yeah. Whereby he knew, based on the nature of the saltine and how just filthy and stinking no good he is, the things that he would do and what he has done in the past and what he would do in the present. Do you understand how remarkable that is, man, to be able to foresee this white man and who and what he is 30 years before? And here it is, you know, if you talk to Black people about Amos and the vision of Amos and some of our other scholars, they would look at you like you crazy, don't even want to take into consideration who and what Amos was. That's why I tell anybody who tells me that they into sociology, psychology, and all of that, I ask them one thing. Have you ever read the works of Dr. Amos Wilson? And when they tell me no, I always tell them, well, if you don't, You'll never be a clear-thinking sociologist or psychologist, and you'll never understand the white man for the evil and wicked that he is. And do you know people don't even learn about Amos? And just like this brother said, many, many, many of his lectures are on YouTube. And I tell anybody, mm-hmm. listen to him. Take mm-hmm. your time and listen to them, because they are as irrelevant
right.
today as they was 30-some years ago, man. And that right there shows you and tells you what greatness is, man. Because sad to say, there's others who have come along, and maybe they don't get the attention that Amos did, but there's very few that have been able to duplicate the work of Amos, man. And that just shows you the greatness of that man.
Yeah.
People don't understand the greatness. Everybody talks about what is this salt team? Sigmund Freud and the rest of these, whatever you want to refer to them. But I say this to you. For African people, there's been very few that could match Amos in regards to the psychology of us as a people, man. And I mean, I'm just thankful that I got the opportunity, you know, from living in New York to have met all of the greats.
Yeah,
even took a class with Dr. Clark at Hunter.
Sure.
So I can honestly say I've met all of them. I can't think of no one that I haven't had the opportunity to say hello to and sure. shake their hand,
sure.
you know. And matter of fact, tomorrow, man, I don't know if you're going to be available or not, man. Naeem Akbar's going to be on Tavis Smiley's platform tomorrow, man.
Is that right?
And I mean, yeah, man. Huh. I think is KLBA 158. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could say this about Tavis Smiley, man. He's one of the best interviews there are, man. Matter of fact, he's having James Boyd, the farmer guy, on his program today at, mm-hmm. You know, what's called. But, yeah, Tavis is the best.
Can
but
you,
he's going to have one Naeem tomorrow,
can
man.
Can you send me that information,
I mean,
or is there a link? Is there a link I can hook? Can you send me that information, Jim?
I'll send it. I'll text it to you. When we get off, I'll mm-hmm. definitely text it to you. But, you know, right quick, a good laugh, man. Oh, you telling me, man, you ain't had the pig in the wild, bro?
No, man. Don't mess with the swine.
Hey, let me tell you something. I haven't had pork in maybe 30 years. Now, when I say I haven't had pork, it's the fact that I haven't eaten pork, but I know for a fact, because I've had Ritz crackers, which have lard in it, before I knew it, I've had pork. Indirectly, you may eat something that's
right.
made
right.
with lard or
right.
something like that.
Exactly.
But I tell you, as far as having the pig, no, I haven't ate it in 30 years. But I tell you, if I had to have one thing on the pig ever again, it would have to be some ribs, man. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I mean, I've had everything on the pig, everything, chitlins and all of that, when I was younger, because, you know, we grew
yeah,
up on it.
Right.
But I tell you, the one thing that I honestly could say, if I had to eat pork, it would be ribs, man. I ain't even gonna lie about it.
That's the main delicacy of the pig, huh? Of the swine.
That's the only thing I would
eat
on the pig. I wouldn't eat ham. I wouldn't eat pork chops or anything like that. It is funny because me and my old lady had went out to dinner the other night, and I had me some lamb ribs. You know what I mean? And I was teasing her. I said, babe, I wonder if these taste like pork ribs. And she started laughing. Yeah. But no, I know a lot of people that haven't ate pork, but I always say, mm-hmm. and I'll admit, I would definitely eat I would definitely probably eat ribs. That's the only thing on the pig I would ever eat if I had to eat it. Okay. But, you know, I substitute it with lamb. So, I mean, you yeah, know, and yeah. I don't even mess with that often. But, you know, I would just say, because, you know, I remember eating to live, you know, Elijah Muhammad's book, How to Eat to Live.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm upset with myself because I really don't follow it. You know how you read a book and you don't follow the teachings of it? I think I ain't even gonna lie, the best thing I ever got out of the How to Eat to Live was bean pie. That's the only continuous thing that I participate, honestly, yeah, with that book.
I love
the bean pie, man. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to see a brother, because where I live at, I don't live too far from 125th Street, which is, as they say, the Mecca of Harlem. And it's nothing like seeing the brothers out there. And I mean, even in a hot day, they're out there with their
suits on and bow ties.
And the bean pie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and the bean pie. It always puts a smile on my face. You know what I mean? And I always got to wind up buying the bean pie, man. I mean, I can't tell them no, man. I think it's now it's $5 a bean pie.
Huh?
I could have $5 in my pocket.
Wow, $5 for a slice.
$5 for a bean pie.
Yeah,
I remember
for a slice.
When I used to get 2 for $5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now, I got $5 in my pocket, I just give them the
just
$5.
Recently, I bought a whole bean pie, Supreme Bean Pie, out of Chicago, which is the best. Supreme bean pie out of Chicago from the Nation of Islam for $10 a pie.
Man. Yeah, man. I mean, it's not cheap.
I mean,
you know, they gotta make their money.
Yeah.
But you know something? I mean, you know, I'm in the cooking, so making my own is just something that you do once in a while. But it's nothing like buying it from your brother and your sister, man.
That's right.
I mean, we just
support.
Some things you just have to purchase from the distributor of the product. You know what I mean? It's like it's like going and buying shea butter from a slant aisle. You could never do it. I would never do it. I got to go to the African on the street, or you know, into a shop that's African owned to get my shea butter. I'm not gonna buy it from no slant eye. And the funny thing, man, I remember one time in the community that whenever you wanted to basically get fresh fruit and vegetables, you had to go to the slant eye to get it.
Yeah.
Now they don't even have. And this is crazy. They don't even have vegetable stands in regards to, you know, like they used to.
Well,
but I tell you one industry that they still control, I know in Harlem, is the fish industry. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, listen,
you can't go, you know, or anything like that. And then this is even deeper. They got a food chain, I think it's like, In New York, maybe 4 or 5 restaurants that are soul food restaurants, open buffet style, called Manis, that is owned by the Chinese with black cooks. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that, brother?
I can believe anything. Listen, I got to go, Jay. Appreciate it. I'm already over time. I didn't know it.
And have a beautiful day.
You
and
too.
I'll text you that information right
Please
now.
Please do. Hold on. I just listened, Jay, because I got to... Ron Daniels of the Institute for the Black World has a program today. His guest is Brother Bill Fletcher. And that's go to IBW21.org.
I don't like Ron, man.
Well,
that's a waste of time. I can't.
Well,
me and him have issues. We've gotten into fights.
Well,
so
that's you.
I don't like that.
That's
either.
You. And IBW21.org, brothers and sisters. The program is on today. Brother Bill Fletcher is his guest. They're going to be talking about Haiti, Cuba, and South Africa, 3 hot spots that are happening right now. That is the topics of our program. So check it
what
out.
What time
if you
is
want.
It?
2:00.
Okay, cool.
Yep, 2:00.
Cool.
Yep.
And that's the guess. That's 2 o'clock today. Excuse me. No, I'm sorry. 3 o'clock from 3 to 4. From 3 to 4. So our program, oh, live radio, 3 p.m. to 4.
Oh, you know, it'll also probably be on WBAI also.
Yes,
probably.
WBAI. Exactly. 99.5.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
All right. All right, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. That's what Dr. Amos Wilson would have us to do. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. Hope to see you on Wednesday.